Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Wow, have you guys not loved the last two sermon series, the Change series, and then last week we kicked off Take Back Our City. I'm telling you, if you look around, we're seeing that the enemy has a grip, but God is still on the throne, and we have the authority to take back our city. There is so much craziness. Am I right? Going on in our city, in our nation, and the world right now, we're hearing of school shootings or threats of school shootings, because now it's become one of those things where people are like, oh, well, they're getting recognized. And can I just tell you today, people are starving for attention. And I learned this when I was a teacher, that if students can't get your attention for good things, they're gonna do things to get your attention doing bad things. So we have to pay attention. So there's school shootings and threats of school shootings. Abortion is at an all-time high rate. Murders, division, natural disasters. And there are people that want to help, but they're not able to. And I just want to tell you today that our media is no longer like the classes I took in journalism. Back then, we had to be neutral. We could not be biased. We just had to report the news. Well, it's no longer like that, church. Now it's whoever, whatever agenda that you want to propose, we're going to tune into that station. Or you know what? I don't like what they're saying, so I'm going to tune into this station. And I want you to know that we have got to ourselves get in a place with the Lord. And what we've seen is, since the news stations are not reporting all of the truth, we're seeing we the people are taking our little TikToks and our little reels, and we're going out and we're standing on what's really happening. They're recording the real and raw footage. You guys, you can't make this stuff up. I learned this past week that the people that were taking supplies to Helene hurricane victims were being arrested for helping people. And so that, I'm not on social media a lot because I don't have time to be, but that got me digging in a little bit, and I saw a reel of an unidentified Black Hawk helicopter. And where they had all of the food and supplies staged, it swooped in and began to destroy and scatter everything. Y'all, that is evil. We need to be praying. We need to be praying. There's so much happening in today's world that I think that we've become desensitized. We just look at it and go right past it without letting it affect our hearts. Do we even care anymore? Ask yourself that question. Am I so desensitized that I don't even care anymore? Or maybe it's, you know what? I really don't think I can make a difference, so I can't care. Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name, the name that every other name has to bow to. And God, today we ask that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds, that you would open our eyes to see what the enemy is trying to do, to create division, to cause us not to be your people. Lord, let us carry your character and your heart. And I pray for all of our hearts to not become hardened to the things that are happening. Keep us soft, Lord. Offend our hearts today so that you can change our lives in Jesus' name. I believe we have been in survival mode so long that we just have lost it. You know, we've become very self-centered, and I believe that's happened especially since the pandemic, because we were all forced to be very concerned about us and our own households. We've taken on a mindset that says, if it doesn't affect me, I really don't care. We think, I don't have the energy to think about it. I don't have the money to give to it. And I don't have the time to serve. We live in a busy world. And so we just get very self-absorbed. In the early 60s, prayer was banned from our schools. And in the early 80s, because I graduated in 1988. I remember in our school when the Ten Commandments came off the wall. And I'm telling you today that when we neglect or ban God from our culture, he removes his hand of protection. We saw this numerous times in the Old Testament. I've been reading the Old Testament this year. He constantly would say, okay, here's some plagues, here's some wars, here's some pestilence, here's some of this. You will worship me. Romans 1, 24 through 25 says, so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. Jump down to verse 28, and it says, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things they never had done before. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, haters of God. Aren't we seeing that today? We see people really hate God. Insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. We as a nation, we as a church, we as individuals, even Christians, we have turned from a biblical worldview that our country was founded on to a secular worldview. We've become more concerned about social issues than we are about what God says about those social issues. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Social issues are very important. And we as Christians have to be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. But can I tell you today that if we are believing that those social issues that we're supporting and fighting for go against God's word, they are still wrong. You have free will. God gave it to you. So go ahead and do you, boo. But there will be a day when we stand face to face with God and he is going to make us give an account of every word we spoke, every act that we did. And I don't know about you, but that makes me in reverence of him. Changes my mind. The Bible tells us in Matthew and Mark that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not what we think is right, not what we think is good, but his righteousness. And I believe our culture has far too long said, I'm going to take a knee if I don't agree with you. But God says, don't take a knee, bend a knee. Call out to heaven. Now, more than ever, we need to be praying. And I told Circle up this morning, I made the devil mad last week, like real mad. And he's kind of made me pay for it a little bit this week, but God's still on the throne. And look, he's got a word for us today. But I've prayed more this week being under spiritual warfare and attack more than I have in the last few months. We need to be repenting. We need to be rebuking. And we need to be binding everything that is attacking our lives. I know for 100% fact that you were born in this generation. You are chosen for such a time as this. I know we don't want to go through what we're about to go through, but God trusted you. And so we can sit back and let it all happen, or we can choose to be the power of one. I want to show you how important the power of one is. One is the lowest number. No other number sequence starts without one. We don't start 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Parents, you don't say, oh, you're in trouble. 2, 3, 4. No, we start with one. One. It's the beginning. It's the starting point. And there is power in one. There is power in you. But too many times we look at the bigger numbers. We're looking at making a difference with the thousands. We can't get lost in the big numbers because we think one is not big enough. Let me tell you one of my favorite stories. I heard this story about 20 years ago, and I use it as often as I can. But after a bad storm, like Helene or Milton or some other storm, thousands of starfish washed up on the beach. And there was this little girl who was walking along the beach, and she would bend down, pick up the starfish, and she would throw it back into the ocean. And the people were watching her do that for a while. And then a man came up to her and said, why are you doing that? There are thousands of starfish. You surely cannot make a difference. And she felt a little bit defeated and like, oh. But it only took her moments. And she bent down and picked up a starfish and she threw it back in the ocean. And she looked at that man and said, well, I made a difference with that one. And it wasn't long that the man began to help her. Our city needs us to make a difference with just one. And trust me, God puts the one in front of you. But too many times we're distracted or we're scared or whatever, and we don't do what he's asking us to do with the one. So we've got to be obedient when he asks. Does it seem like it's impossible? Answer me. Does it seem impossible that we can make a difference today? Like, are people too far gone? That's what we think a lot of times. They're just too far gone. Or we think, they're a mess. I can't make a difference with them. But can I tell you, our Bible tells us that it may be impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible. I want to share a story about two families in our church. that owned the power of one. And the first family is the Hogg and Jones family. And Lori, would you stand? Starts with you, power of one, girl. Keep standing, because I'm going to have everybody join you. And Lori came to a She conference, and she sat right up here. I remember it. It was a turning point. She sat right up here, and the Lord encountered her. She went back to her family, and then Jenny started coming. Jenny's not standing up because she's serving back in the middle right now. And then Renee started coming. Go ahead and stand. And Renee is our leader of our inner healing and deliverance team, and so much more. And then Russ started coming. And then Russ got his parents to start coming. They're not here today, but Casey and Kim. And then Cody started coming. And then Thumper started coming. And then everybody else that is connected to this family, that you are here today because of this family, would you stand? Oh, Christy. Jenny invited Christy, and Christy started coming. She serves with our youth, and she leaves a crew. And Steve. Greg. I did that earlier. And Greg started coming because he used to work with Thumper. Will you look what the power of one encounter from Jesus did? Give it up for these people, because they could have buried their head and said, no, they come from some church hurt. They could have said, no, I don't want to do that again. But look at the power of one. The next family I want to talk about is the Martin family and beyond. Miss Renita, that leads worship, invited a coworker, Joni. Stand up. And then Joni invited her husband, Billy. They lead on the cleaning team, and they serve in other areas. Then Carly and Chance started coming. They just were September's Servant Leader of the Month, too, just so you know. And then I gotta keep it all straight. Okay, then Joni invited her high school friend Chrissy to come. And then Chrissy invited her husband Chad to come. And then Carly invited Brittany and Aaron. They served for the first time today. Go ahead and stand up. And Brittany and Aaron invited, and y'all, I was afraid I'd do this. Tell me your names again. You two. Andrew and Jamie and Andrew. They've been coming now for a few weeks. And today, Chance invited her cousin and her daughter. Would you guys stand up? And anybody else that is connected to any of these families, would you stand up? Don't you dare tell me that there is not power in one. When God grips you, He changes you, and you want to share it with everybody you know. That is the power of one. We're going to be reading in Luke 15. And it says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus. So the religious ones didn't come as often, but those who were far from God did. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, eating with them. Oh my goodness. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is much more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. That is why our city church is committed to unapologetically always reach those that are far from God. You come. You get a word, you plug in, but we are always going to preach the message of Jesus. The message never changes, but sometimes the methods do. And if you are hungry for more, get in the word. You don't just get fed on Sunday. We feed ourselves 3 meals a day. Come on. Jesus didn't and still doesn't think today that one is insignificant. Pastor Rich's favorite story is the prodigal son. We've heard it a few times. My favorite story is the woman at the well, because it was me. Everybody else may have given up on me. Everybody else may have thought Mindy was too far gone, but I was one that he knew he could make a difference with. And I want to remind you today that no matter what your past is, who has given up on you, you are the one he wants to make a difference with. You are the one. And I want to add to that, that you're not just the one he wants to make a difference with, you're the one he wants to use to make a difference. Let's look at the woman in the well, story, the power of one person. John 4 says, he, Jesus, left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed, everybody say needed, but he needed to go through Samaria. Jews always went around Samaria. They hated the Samaritans. They hated them so much that they would go 70 miles out of their way to cross the Jordan. So my question to you today is, who are you going around? Thinking they're too bad. They can't be saved. Thinking, well, they don't believe the way I do. Thinking, oh my gosh, they drive me crazy. They're annoying. They talk too much. They know it all. They drive me crazy. When we fully understand the power of one, we check out of our own personal agenda and we begin to walk in the spirit, and we're flexible to what he has for us to do for the day. I remember it happens often. Like, I'll have a day off, and someone will ask me to do something, and I'm like, oh, it's my only day off. But I'm telling you, when you're in tune with the Spirit, you know where you've got to go. You know what you've got to say. You know. And I believe that is where we need to be. That's exactly what Jesus did. He needed to go through Samaria because there was a woman. I mean, he's all God, but sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you know you've got to do something even though you don't want to. He needed to go through Samaria because there was a woman he needed to encounter. And first of all, it's not what the Jews did. They didn't hang out with the Samaritans, but he was on a mission. Jesus was about to break all the rules for the one. Jesus says in Luke 2:49, it's not going to be on the screen, so write it down. Luke 2:49, I must be about my Father's business. Is that what we say? I must be about my Father's business. And then in Luke 4:43, it says, I must preach the gospel to whom I'm sent. And John 4:6 says, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from the long walk, it wasn't convenient for Jesus. He was tired. He wanted to go lay down on a couch somewhere, but tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well at noontime. He recognized the hour and was obedient to just go. Now, it was not the normal time that people went to the well. It's noon. It's hot. The sun is directly above them. They went in the morning, but they were there at noon because he recognized the hour. I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but the Samaritan woman went to the well at noon because she was ashamed. She was embarrassed, and she may have had some disrespect and regret. I believe that we as a church, we as a people need to recognize that our hour is now. People are counting on us too much. People are counting on us too much. It is time we go out of our way for the one. We read on in John 4:7, soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. And in verse 9, it says the woman was surprised because she knew they hated Samaritans. For Jews refused to have anything to do with the Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? But he looked past her past. He looked past her status. He looked past what culture was saying, because back in the day, in Jesus's days, men were not with women. Like, they didn't go anywhere at one time with women. He looked past that she was a Samaritan, and he looked past that she was a sinner. Gang, I can tell you today, it's not us Bible-believing, Jesus-following people against them. It is not us against them. We are going to have to look past people's past. We're going to have to love people right where they're at. And we have to be different to be making a difference. I need you to write this down. You know, they say everybody who takes notes in church goes to heaven. Just kidding. I want you to write this down, and I want you to post it somewhere. We cannot look and act like the world and win it. We can't look like the world and act like the world to win it. The Bible says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. I was in a situation this week, and they were listening to music that really hurt my spirit. It was F this, F that. And I'm like, oh my word, plead the blood of Jesus, please. Keep me covered right now. I didn't want to listen to that, but I was in a situation I didn't have a choice. I understood I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I ain't singing the words. I don't want to learn the words. No. But the Bible also says we're in the world, but not of the world, but we must come out from among them and be separate. We need to adapt, but not conform. We need to adapt, but not compromise. Well, everybody else is doing it. Let me just pastor you a moment, maybe mother you a moment. I remember when I got told this all the time, you aren't everyone. It doesn't matter what they're doing. You're not them, you're you. You're called for such a time as this. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are not like that. Somebody needs to own this scripture. But I am not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you've received God's mercy. We are not everyone. You're not everyone. I'm not everyone. I'm different. I'm peculiar. I'm going to stand out. I'm going to make a difference. As this story goes on, Jesus tells the woman at the well, go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. And he said, you're right. You've had five husbands and you're shacking up with the new guy. But he didn't say it degradingly. He was just speaking the truth in love and letting her know, hey, I know you. I know you and I love you. And then he offered her hope, living water. How many times do we see people in situations like that and we just write them off? When we could speak the truth in love and help them walk it out. We need to offer them the hope of Jesus. She wanted the water that Jesus offered her because she was empty and clearly she was thirsty. Right? And it led to an encounter. And that's what happens when we meet Jesus. We have encounters. John 4:28 says, the woman then left her water pot. Say, left her water pot. And went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? The reason I had to repeat left her water pot, the water pot represented her life. And she left the water pot for the changed life that Jesus was giving her. Here's the cool thing. Jesus didn't say, okay, girl, now you leave this water pot and fix yourself. She chose. See, when you have an encounter, a real, raw encounter with Jesus, you don't want anything of your past. You want the past to stay in the past. That's my old life. I'm a new creation. That's my old life. I am brand new. I don't want anything that even reminds me of my old life. I believe with my whole heart that the reason we come to an altar and we have an encounter with the Lord and we say, God, I don't want to do this anymore. But then we go back to our life outside of the four walls of the church or outside of the encounter and we go back to it. It's because we haven't fully let it go. We haven't fully surrendered and say, God, it's in my weakness that you're going to be strong. I can't do it, but you can. We want things to be different so badly, but we want to hold on to all the things we want. I believe that it is time for us to leave our water pots and our old lives and fully follow Jesus and check what happens when we do that. John 4:39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him, Jesus, because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves had heard from him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." So you may be asking, does one really matter? Let's see. One in 1,100 commits suicide ages 14 through 25. One in 1,200 die from drug and alcohol abuse. One in 6 teens get pregnant. One in 3 babies are aborted. One in 2 families get divorced. Our families are a mess. So where you might be going, okay, this is a lot, it's heavy. I want to make a difference, I don't know how. So where do we start? I have 4 practical ways. Number 1, leave your water pot. Leave your old life. And can I tell you, it is okay that it isn't an instant leaving, but it's a cognitive thought. Oh my goodness, that's my old life. And we get convicted and we feel the conviction and we change. We have to fully surrender to Jesus. So what is your water pot that you need to bring to the altar and leave at the feet of Jesus? Is it control? Is it your past life? Is it something that keeps tripping you up? Number 2, get out of your comfort zone. Go out of your way just like Jesus did. We have to let the love of Jesus shine through us to make that difference. Everywhere we go, it's kindness to the servers. It's kindness to the people checking us out the grocery when I didn't even want to go to the grocery 3 times this weekend. It's kindness to our coworkers that may not believe the way that I believe. It may be people in stores that we see, and it may even be people on the Gene Snyder. That one's for me. We've got to start sharing what Jesus has done in our life. That's what the Samaritan woman did. She went back to her city. She didn't have an encounter with the Lord and say, "Oh, yay me." She went back to her city and she told everybody what Jesus had done for her. And you guys, ministry is anywhere that you are. Too many people want a ministry position, but they're not faithful with the one in front of them. The Bible says that we have to be faithful over the small in order to ever be ruler over much. If God can't trust you with the one, he'll never be able to trust you with many. Number 3, listen to people. La, 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 listen, Linda. You've got to listen and not just hear them, but hear them. You need to be so, like, not letting it go in one ear and out the other, but feeling what they're talking about. And when we build relationships one-on-one, that's our ticket to start speaking the truth in love. Too many times we as Christians get on our soapbox all over social media and we're trying to win the world, but we're being so judgmental and critical that I don't want your Jesus. I'm sorry. But if that's the way I have to act when I give my life to the Lord, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm nicer now. And the last way, number 4, make a commitment to invite someone to church every week. Just one. The power of one. This is how we're going to take back our city. It is the power of one. You can make a difference. So our challenge, Pastor Rich and I were talking about this. He said, let's challenge them to bring one person with them next week. And I would like to say, let's make it a habit. Let's make it a habit every week to invite one. And I do want to say that church can't change you, but Jesus can. And he's here. Every Sunday morning, I feel his presence. As they dim the lights, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes right now. And I'm going to ask you to search your own heart. And today, if you have never made Jesus the Savior of your life, I would love, he would love you. We read the scripture there. It's a celebration. It's real simple. All you have to do is believe that he died for you, that he was crucified and he rose again on the third day for you, the one. And then you ask him to save you and you ask him to forgive you. So if that's you today, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. One, Jesus loves you. He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. Two, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but today. Don't wait till you've got it all figured out. Don't wait till you're cleaned up, because that's not your job. You'll never be able to do it. That is the Holy Spirit's job. And we never know if we have tomorrow. So today is the day of salvation. Three, hands up all over the place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, 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 you're worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you can put your hands down. And if you did that, I want you to text the word saved to 502-237-1234. This isn't for any other purpose than us being able to connect with you and give you the next steps to get you in the process. We want to support you. We don't want anybody doing life and relationship with the Lord alone. And for everyone else, I'm asking everybody to stand. But for everyone else, you've searched your heart. And you may be sitting there going, I really have dropped the ball. I haven't been the power of one. I've taken my role too lackadaisically. I'm going to ask that you join me up here at the altar. Two reasons why. Number one, it's a commitment. Number two, it's accountability. It's saying, hey, we're in this together. And we're going to hold each other accountable. And I can promise you, I'm going to be the first one down there. There are days that I take it so seriously, and then there are days that I just go about my life. Today's a new day. Would you join me at the altar?
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.